Welcome to Zichud Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechah Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that flutes brought by a Gentile on Shabbos for a Jew to bewail with at a funeral may not be used. Rashi writes, the Rabban banned using such flutes permanently. This was done as a penalty, as it's obvious that the Gentile brought these flutes from outside the tchum on behalf of the Jew, as flutes are not brought for any other purpose. Point number two is taught in a braisa, hama'atzmo im yitzias ha'nefesh, har ze shofach damim. Whoever closes the eyes of a dying person at the moment of death is a murderer. This can be compared to a flame of a candle that's flickering is about to go out. If a person places his finger on it, it's immediately extinguished. And point number three was taught in a braisa, where Rabbi Shimon Lazar says, ase asha tamotze, perform tzedakah while you still can find someone to receive it from you, amatzui lecha, and while you still have the money to give, va'otcha biyadcha, and while you are still in your control, meaning, while you're still alive. And the Gemara says that the above statement is like what Shlomo Melech stated in his wisdom, Zuchores borecha b'mei b'chorosecha ad asher yavo yamei ha'ra'ah. And remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come, which the Gemara interprets to mean el yamei zikna, these are the days of old age. V'yigiu shanim asher tomer ein li behem chefetz, and those years arrive which you'll say I have no pleasure in them, which the Gemara explains to mean el yamei ha'mashiach. These are the days of Mashiach when there will be no merits or demerits. Rashi explains that in days of Mashiach, there will be universal prosperity, so there will be no opportunity to acquire merits through giving tzedakah, and there will be no test of being hard-hearted and refusing to give. So once again, the three points are number one. The next Mishnah states that flutes brought by a Gentile on Shabbos for a Jew to bewail with at a funeral may not be used. Rashi writes, the Rabban banned using such flutes permanently. This was done as a penalty, as it's obvious that the Gentile brought these flutes from outside the tchum on behalf of the Jew, as flutes are not brought for any other purpose. Point number two is taught in a braisa, hama'atzmo im yitzias ha'nefesh, har ze shofach damim. Whoever closes the eyes of a dying person at the moment of death is a murderer. This can be compared to the flame of a candle that's flickering and is about to go out. If a person places his finger on it, it's immediately extinguished. And point number three was taught in a braisa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, perform tzedakah while you can still find someone to receive it from you, and while you still have the mind to give, and while you are still in your control, meaning while you're still alive. The Gemara says that the above statement is similar to what Shlomo Melech stated in his wisdom, and remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come, which the Gemara interprets to mean El Yamei Zikna, these are the days of old age. V'yigiu shanim asher tomar ein behem chefetz, and those years arrive which you'll say, I have no pleasure in them, which the Gemara explains to mean El Yamei HaMashiach she'ein behem oschus v'rochova. These are the days of Mashiach when there will be no merits or demerits. Rashi explains that in the days of Mashiach there will be universal prosperity, so there will be no opportunity to acquire merits through giving tzedakah, and there will be no test of being hard-hearted and refusing to give. All right, so now we go to our sim for Kuf Nun Aleph. We had a lot of different places mentioned. It was Connecticut, Canada, Canaan. Then we had comma, canola oil, a can of worms, canaries. And then we had a lot of suggestions around jealousy. We had the jealous athlete, the silver medalist, jealous of the gold medalist. We had the jealous middle child. I'm going to go with suggestions. It comes from a number of people. Baruch Abitam Farakwe, Shalom Fried from Woodmere, Chesky Nim from Muncie, and Yeshua Shmuel Eisenberg from Queens, who suggested a zealot, a kanai, and Yeshua Shmuel Eisenberg said a zealous man with a spear, which I'm going to use for this simon. So thank you, Baruch, Shalom, Chesky, and Yeshua Shmuel for the suggestion. And here goes. The zealot threw his spear-like flute at the person closing the eyes of the dying person, whose pockets were spilling over with coins he could no longer give to tzedakah. Once again, in slow motion. The zealot, that must mean we're on Duff Kufnanov, kanai. The zealot threw his spear-like flute, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that flutes brought by a Gentile on Shabbos for a Jew to bewail with at a funeral may not be used. And Rashi writes that the Rabbanan banned using such flutes permanently. This was done as a penalty, as it's obvious that the Gentile brought these flutes from outside the tchum on behalf of the Jew, as flutes are not brought for any other purpose. So the zealot threw his spear-like flute at the person closing the eyes of the dying person, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, hama'atzmo im yitzias ha'nefesh, whoever closed the eyes of a dying person at the moment of death is a murderer. This can be compared to the flame of a candle that's flickering and is about to go out. If a person places his finger on it, it's immediately extinguished. So the zealot threw his spear-like flute at the person closing the eyes of the dying person, whose pockets are spilling over with coins he could no longer give to tzedakah. which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, "Ase ad she'ata motzei, perform tzedakah while you can still find someone to receive it from you, amatzui lecha, and while you still have the money to give, va'otcha biyadcha, and while you are still in your control, meaning while you're still alive." The Gemara says that the above statement is similar to what Shlomo Melch stated in his wisdom, "Zuchores barecha b'mei b'chorasecha, adeshul yavo yamei hara." Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, which the Gemara interprets to mean El Yamei Zikna. These are the days of old age. And those years arrive in which you'll say, "I have no pleasure in them," which the Gemara explains to mean El Yamei Hamashiach She'ein Behem Voschus V'Chova. These are the days of Mashiach when there'll be no merits or demerits. Rashi explains that in the days of Mashiach, there'll be universal prosperity, so there'll be no opportunity to acquire merits through giving tzedakah, and there'll be no test of being hard-hearted and refusing to give. So once again, the zealot threw his spear-like flute at the person closing the eyes of the dying person, whose pockets are spilling over with coins. He can no longer give to tzedakah. And now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. So the symbol for Kuf Mem Zayin is a kumzitz. So here goes. The kumzitz, that must mean run Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. The kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, "Hamna'ir talis b'Shabbos chayv chatas. One who shakes his cloak on Shabbos to clean it is liable chatas." Rashi explains that he's shaking dust off of it, which is a tolda of the malachim malabein, of laundering. The Gemara qualifies this ruling that it only applies to garments that the owner is particular about wearing without shaking off the dust, such as new garments and black garments. If the owner is not particular about shaking the dust off these garments as well, he would not be liable chatas if he did shake them off. So the kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment onto 10 bachrim who just dried themselves off with one towel. Which reminds the next Mishnah states that if one bathed in cave water or in the Chamit Tveria and dried himself with even 10 towels, lo yivim biyado, he may not carry them, the towels, home in his hand. Whereas 10 people may dry themselves with one towel drying their faces, hands, and feet, mevinos biyado, and they may carry the towel home in their hands. The Gemara explains that the first part of the Mishnah is teaching the novelty that even though one person dried himself with 10 towels, and it's presumed that the towels have very little water in them, he's not allowed to bring them home, came the chadhu asiyu de schita. Since he's one person, he may forget and come to squeeze water out of the towels. The second part of the Mishnah is coming to teach that the novelty that even though one towel can be resumed to be saturated with water from 10 people using it, they can still bring it home, came the rabim ninu madukri hadadi. Since there are many, they'll come to remind each other not to squeeze it. Rav Yosef stated that lach is not like our Mishnah, but rather one person is allowed to bring a towel home with them, and he mentioned four rabbanon that support this view. So the kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment onto 10 bachrim who just dried themselves off with one towel, and then the rav from out of town forgot his dvar Torah. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach once came to the region Pugisa de Yomsis and became attracted to the worldly pleasures there and forgot his Torah learning. The Midrash in Kohel's Rabbah relates that he went to the area after the death of Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai when the other Talmidim went and reestablished the academy in Yavne. When Elazar ben Arach returned and read from the Torah, instead of reading, "Achodesh Zeh Lechem, this month shall be for you," he read, "Hacher Shayel Gibam, was their heart silent? The Rabban Davin for him and his Torah knowledge returned." This incident illustrates what's learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Nehore Omer, "Havi Golo Makm Torah, Baal Tomar Shehitavu Acharecha, exile yourself to a place of Torah, and do not presume the Torah will follow after you. Shechaberecha yikamohu b'yadcha, for it's your colleagues who will cause it to remain with you." Rashi explains that while he's learning one masechta, his chaver will be learning a masechta that he'd already learned, and through discussion he'll refresh his memory. The mission concludes, "Vel binascha al tisha'ein, and do not rely on your own understanding." Rashi explains that one should not say that he will not forget his learning. Daf Kuf Mem Ches, so the simple Kuf Mem Ches is kemach flour, so here goes. The baker covered in flour, that must be more in Daf Kuf Mem Ches. The baker covered in flour who borrowed pitchers of oil on Shabbos, saying, Hashileni, which reminds us, the opening mission of the 23rd parak states that one may borrow pitchers of wine or pitchers of oil from his friend on Shabbos, provided that he does not say to him, Halveni, lend me. This implies that one can borrow the items using the different expression of Hashileni. Rabbi Bar Rav Hanan asked Abai what the difference is between these two expressions. Abai responded that if the borrower says Hashileni, the lender will not come to write down the loan because this term signifies a loan of objects, which is usually short-term. The term halveni, on the other hand, denotes a long-term loan of money, and the lender might come to write it down. Rush explains that halveni refers to a loan of 3 days unless specified otherwise, and the lender will write down so as not to forget about it. So the baker covered in flour, who borrowed pitchers of oil on Shabbos, saying, Hashileni, didn't rebuke his guests who were dancing and clapping, which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Hanan asked Abai why we don't rebuke people that we see clapping their hands, beating their chests, or dancing when it's taught explicitly in the Mishnah that these activities are forbidden on Shabbos. Rashi states that dancing might lead to fixing a broken musical instrument, which would be the malacha, Magen B'Patish. Abai answered that since people continue to do so even if they're rebuked, Mutav Shiyu Shogegin V'Ayu Mezidin, it's preferable that they sin unintentionally rather than deliberately. The Gemara clarifies that this principle applies equally to a deraisa. For although one is required to extend the fast of Yom Kippur by starting earlier on the 9th, we see that people eat and drink right up until it gets dark, and we don't rebuke them. So the baker covered in flour who poured pitchers of oil on Shabbos, saying, Hashileni, didn't rebuke his guests who were dancing and clapping because they were already going to court for a loan they took on Yantav. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas marayim whether a permissible loan made on Yantav is reclaimable in court. Rav Yosef said, well, nitnali taba, it's not reclaimable in court. And Rav said, nitnali taba, it is reclaimable in court. The Gemara explains that according to Rav Yosef, the reason that it's not reclaimable in court is that if it were reclaimable, the lender might come to write a record of the loan in Yantav. If it's not reclaimable, then there's no point in writing it down since he can only rely on the borrower's word. The reason the Rabbi says that the loan is reclaimable in court is that if it's not reclaimable, then the lender will refrain from lending and the borrower will be prevented from Simchas Yantav if he's unable to borrow money and attain provisions. Daf Kuf Mem Tes. So the Simcha from Kuf Mem Tes is a comet. So here goes. The astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party. Comet, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Mem Tes. The astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis stated that a person may count his guests and desserts orally, but not from a written note. The Gemara brings Machlokas Amoraim as to the reason. Rabbi says, Gezer Shema Yimchok. It's a Rabbanan that was enacted lest one erase something from the list. Rashi explains that the host might see that he didn't prepare enough food for all of his guests, and he'll delete some guests from his list so that the servant will not invite them. It's a Rabbanan because Midiraisa, one has only transgressed the Malach of Mochik erasing if it's to make space for writing. Abaya says, Gezer Shema Yikra Bishtari Hediotos. It's the Rabbanan that was enacted lest one read from common documents, which Rashi understands as business-related documents. So the astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party decided to disinvite the artist who was going to paint the starry night, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that one is forbidden from reading on Shabbos the captions under a picture or artworks, such as scenes of David fighting Goliath. Rashi explained that reading from them on Shabbos is prohibited because one may come to read from Shtari Hediotos. The braisa continues and prohibits gazing at artwork even during the week, as it says in the pasuk, Al tifnu el elilim, do not turn to idols. Rabbi Hanan interprets this pasuk to mean, Al tifnu el medaitchem, do not turn to that which comes from your minds. Rashi explains that the word elilim is related to the word chalalim, recesses, referring to the recesses of one's mind. We're showing debate whether the prohibition applies only to gazing at items designated for Avodah Zorah, even if they haven't been worshipped, or it's a broader application to art in general. So the astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party decided to disinvite the artist who was going to paint the starry night, when he found out he did the portrait for an evil emperor. Which reminds Rabbi Yaakov Reidabas Yaakov said, Kol shechavero nanash al yado, anyone whose friend was punished on his account, ein machnisin oso b'michitzatso shekosh baruch hu, is not admitted into the enclosure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In seeking the source of Rabbi Yaakov's statement, the Gemara mentions an incident involving Tzidkia and Nebuchadnezzar, suggesting that Tzidkia was responsible for Nebuchadnezzar's punishment. The Gemara rejects this premise in part because Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that Tzidkia was righteous and a helpless victim, who Hashem protected when Nebuchadnezzar sought to do a disgraceful deed to him. Daf Kufnun. So the Simfer Kufnun is a con artist. So here goes. The con artist, that must be more Daf Kufnun. The con artist asked his partner if he was going to join him in the evening, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one may not hire workers on Shabbos, nor may a person tell his friend to hire workers for him. The Gemara questions why the Mishnah need to teach the second point, as it's obvious that if he can't hire workers, his friend would not be able to as well. So Rav Ashi answered that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and is coming to teach that while one cannot ask his friend to hire workers for him, he can hire his friend himself as long as it's done in a non-direct way by asking him, shall we see whether you'll join me in the evening, i.e. after Shabbos? Rabbi Baruch Hanan said to Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's ruling is based on the pasuk, Mimsochevzecha v'daber davar, refrain from pursuing your business and speaking words. The words v'daber davar imply The Dibur Asur Hirhor Mutter. Only speech is forbidden, but thought is permitted. So the con artist asked his partner if he was going to join him in the evening, after he heard people in shul talk about tzedakah funds, which reminds the Gemara questions the statement that speech is prohibited on Shabbos, bringing numerous examples of permitted speech, including making calculations for the sake of a mitzvah, allocating tzedakah funds, arranging shidduchim for girls, and teaching a boy a text or a trade. So the Gemara answers based on the pasuk, Mimso chepsecha b'davar davar, refrain from pursuing your business and speaking words. The word chepsecha implies chepsecha asurim, chepse shamayim mutarim. Your business is forbidden, but the business of shamayim, i.e. mitzvah, is permitted. So the con artist asks his partner if he's going to join him in the evening, after he heard people in shul talk about tzedakah funds, to pretend they're anim harvesting in the fields, who had just said, Hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states that one may go to Tichum to wait nightfall for the purpose of guarding his property on Shabbos, and he may bring back produce. Now the Gemara says that the implication of the Mishnah is that he may pluck produce even before he recites Havdalah, as there's no wine in the field he can recite Havdalah with. The Gemara asks, how is he permitted to do this? The Malach of Kotzer, for a blessing in Tichum, says, Asula Adam Shiasa Chafatzav Kodim Shiyavdil. It's forbidden for a person to attend to his affairs before reciting Havdalah. Two answers are given. One is what Rav Abba said to Rav Ashi, that in Eretz Yisrael they would say Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'Chol, and then Dumach even before Havdalah was said on wine. All right, now it's time for a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which stuff do we learn that speech involving Chepsei Shamayim is permitted on Shabbos? That's on Daf Kufnun. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we learn that one can say Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'Chol and then do Malach Mosi Shabbos? That's on Daf Kufnun. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn that aid is aid mafi aid, secondary testimony is valid? That's on Daf Kufmem Hey. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn that one can borrow certain items on Shabbos if he says Hashileni? That's on Daf Kufmem Ches. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn that's prohibited to hire someone on Shabbos? That's on Daf Kufnun. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn that one who closes the eyes of someone who is dying is a rotzeach, a murderer? That's on Daf. Kufnun Aleph. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn that one should give tzedakah while he still can before he dies or before Moshiach comes? That's on Daf. Kufnun Aleph. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn that one can carry wet towels? That's on Daf. Kufmem Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we have in Machlokas regarding squeezing pickled vegetables? That's on Daf. Kufmem Hey. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we have that one who shakes dust off new or black garments is Chayav Chattas for Malabain? That's on Daf. Kufmem Zayin. Great. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn about the importance of having a Makum Kavua? That's on Daf. Vav. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that Rabbi Gamliel was Mekabel Tanchumim for Tavi, his servant? That's on Daf. Tezayin. Good. And number 3. Which of the one that Divrei Torah not Mekabel Tuma? That's on Daf. Chabes. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.